It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Well, maybe hard to believe, but we're just a little over a month away from the midterm elections. There'll be plenty of races on your ballot. And if you haven't decided on who you're voting for just quite yet, we're here to help. Over the next month, we'll be bringing the candidates in a variety of races right to you.
Today, we'll be hosting forums with the candidates running for attorney general. It's the first open race for the position since 2002. Current attorney general J.B. Van Hollen announced he won't be seeking another term. There are three candidates seeking the office, and we'll be speaking to all of them individually over the next hour and a half.
We'll start with Brad Schimmel. He's currently Waukesha County District Attorney, and he's the Republican candidate for attorney general of Wisconsin. He joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Brad, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So why are you running for attorney general?
You know, Wisconsin has some tough public safety challenges in front of it, and it deserves an attorney general who's got the experience and the vision to lead on these issues.
Well, let's talk about that experience. What in your background sets you up to be attorney general?
Well, this December, I'll have 25 years as a frontline prosecutor in the Waukesha DA's office. I've been the district attorney elected there for 8 years now. But you don't just measure experience by the years sitting in the chair. You measure it by leadership. And I've had a lot of different opportunities to demonstrate leadership over the years. For instance, way back in the early 1990s, I was part of the team that created Wisconsin's first victim impact panel for chronic intoxicated drivers. Later on in my career, when I was working in the sensitive crimes unit, I was part of the team that created Wisconsin's first full-service child advocacy center. And these were things that were difficult to do. They would have been difficult to get the funding for. And for both of them, we found ways to do it without any taxpayer money to get it done. And as DA, too, I've been part of Wisconsin's first alcohol treatment court. I led the charge to create our successful drug treatment court in Waukesha. I serve on the Wisconsin Crime Victim Council now as the district attorney's representative, and we're leading the charge on fighting human trafficking in Wisconsin. I serve on the Wisconsin Judicial Council, where we're working hard to make sure that the criminal procedure in our state makes sense for the people using the courtrooms, from the citizens to the lawyers to the judges. All of those things are leadership opportunities that I've taken advantage of over the years, and I think I've served well.
The two other candidates in the race, we'll hear from them today, Democrat Susan Happ, Libertarian Tom Nelson. Other than the party tag, what sets you apart from your opponents?
Well, I'm the law enforcement choice in this race. I've got 89 elected sheriffs and district attorneys statewide endorsing me. They are, and they're both Republicans and Democrats that are endorsing me. And I've got an independent district attorney as well that's endorsing me. I think that is that's important reflection of what I'll do as attorney general, because I'll put the politics aside and put public safety first. And the other big difference is I've promised that I will enforce the law the way it's written. I'll defend Wisconsin law the way it's written. I'll defend our Constitution. And I don't care who's passing the law, who the governor is, who the legislature is. My job as attorney general will be the state's lawyer and defend it the way it's written.
The latest Marquette University Law School poll suggests that while this attorney general race is neck and neck, you and Susan Happ, but a good majority of Wisconsin voters are still unfamiliar with both of you. All three of you actually don't know enough about you to form an opinion. What are you doing to get your name out there and win voters over to your cause and introduce yourself to people?
Well, and you said earlier that it was about a month left. It's 35 days. I happen
You're
to be counting.
Yeah.
But in this 35 days, you know, well, I have been for the last 11 months just crisscrossing the state constantly, and we're putting a lot of miles on with retail politicking. We're also going to have to get up on the air. We're working on a lot of earned media by releasing some of my plans for public safety for Wisconsin, and also getting earned media by visiting with reporters in all the different locations throughout the state. We also recognize we're going to have to be up on the airwaves, and we will definitely be doing some radio and television ads, and those are going to start pretty soon.
Now, in recent weeks, parties, campaigns, and outside groups taking shots at each other over the issue of plea deals mostly reached with sex offenders. Susan Happ has been defending herself in the media a lot, but Democratic supporters pointing to, for example, a case you were involved in where a 19-year-old was able to plead guilty to misdemeanor charges after assaulting a 14-year-old girl rather than facing felony charges. How do you respond to that plea issue?
Well, in my 25-year career, I've handled over 10,000, well over 10,000 different cases, and I've taken 150 cases to jury trial. If anyone's going to argue that I'm soft on crime, that isn't going to stick, because victim advocates, law enforcement, and citizens all have seen my work and are supporting me because of the work I've done as a prosecutor. There's no soft on crime. There are certainly cases that you get in a situation where you've got to make some kind of an amendment to the case to get something and not walk away empty-handed.
Well, this anybody who's been in a job like yours and Susan Happ's for more than a day is going to have made some kind of plea deals. Susan Happ, your Democratic opponent, has said, hey, let's try to take this off the table, not have groups on both sides cherry-picking things like plea deals over the past. Would you agree? Should this not be something we're looking at all?
You know, our records are our records, and we're going to have to stand on them. And when challenges come, we're going to have to defend them. But first off, we can't stop those groups from doing what they're doing. I mean, if we're following the rules, we're not really communicating with them about what strategies they're using. And second, it's a natural thing. If you want to be the state's top cop, you're going to have to run on the record you have.
Well, one thing the attorney general won't be doing, though, is negotiating plea deals with particular criminals. Is that something that we should be looking at in the resume of you and your opponents?
Well, the attorney general is leading a large law enforcement agency with the agents at the Division of Criminal Investigation. You know, the AG is going to have to make decisions about how that office runs or that division runs, also with the Division of Criminal Litigation. There are assistant attorneys general who handle some of the biggest cases that occur in Wisconsin. A lot of times when tragic things happen in smaller counties, they call in the attorney general's office to send in assistant AGs to help out with those cases. We are certainly going to be making big decisions, and we need an AG. We need a leader who's ready to lead on this.
So as attorney general, if elected, you'd be working closely with the state's governor. Coin toss, according to some recent polls, whether that's going to be Scott Walker or Mary Burke. How do you see the relationship between a governor and an attorney general? Could you work with someone from the opposite party?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think J.B. Van Hollen managed to do it. He was the first 4 years as attorney general. Jim Doyle was the governor. And you didn't see headlines, or I didn't at least, with them clashing. They managed to do their jobs. As the attorney general, I represent my client, which is the state of Wisconsin. You know, it's just like any other lawyer. You've got a job to do, and you don't substitute your personal views for what the person who hired you, which would be the voters of the state, you don't substitute your view for what they've hired you to do on their behalf.
Well, getting into some issues now, the current attorney general, J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing recent rulings that would allow same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. Next stop, potentially the Supreme Court. If it goes there, do you argue for the state's same-sex marriage ban in our Constitution before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Of course. It's the job. You know, whatever your personal opinion about the constitutional amendment, it is our law. It was lawfully passed by the electorate. And therefore, your job is to go and defend it. And it's a little misleading to pretend that if the attorney general doesn't defend a law, it's going to go undefended. Because instead, what happens is the state then has to hire an outside attorney or an outside attorney team that will come in and do this instead. And we'll spend potentially millions of dollars of extra taxpayer money because the attorney general's not doing the job they were hired to do.
Well, Susan Happ said it isn't a personal opinion, it's a constitutional matter. The attorney general shouldn't defend a law that is unconstitutional. So if you looked at a law like same-sex marriage and said, you know what, this doesn't pass constitutional muster, do you then still defend it?
My job as attorney general is part of the executive branch. It is not my place to decide to interpret the law and decide what's constitutional. There has been no court that has determined conclusively that the 10th Amendment doesn't override the 14th Amendment. We've got a conflict of two different constitutional amendments here, and ultimately we're not going to know the answer to this until the United States Supreme Court decides which one takes supremacy on this.
Now, if elected, you'd also take office as the state continues to develop a protocol around implementing the state's new voter ID law. It'll be in practice for the election that you're contesting now. As Attorney General, how do you handle this law? What's the Attorney General's role?
Well, the Attorney General has two roles, just like any other attorney representing a client. One is when they're in trouble, you may have to defend them and get them out of trouble, but you also play the role of advising your client to keep them out of trouble in the first place. And that's an important piece of this, is to work with the legislature to make sure that laws are crafted in a way that are going to minimize the legal challenges and are going to withstand challenges in the courts later on. So that's a big part of this. I know that the Attorney General did work with the legislature on crafting this law. They didn't quite follow Indiana's law exactly, and if they had, we may have avoided some of these challenges.
We're talking with Brad Schimmel, Republican candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin, and you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234.
Do you have a question for Brad Schimmel, or are you wondering where he stands on an issue? You can reach us at 800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment, but first, the headlines with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Republican Attorney General candidate Brad Schimmel. He's one of three candidates running for that office. If you've got a question for him or are wondering where he stands on an issue, give us a call. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Evan on the line in Milwaukee. Evan, hi.
Hi, it's actually Pepin, like Pepin and Inn.
Pepin, hi.
And, my question is, given how many serious issues our state is dealing with, you know, whether it's the heroin crisis or human trafficking, and given the, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but the Attorney General can decide, like, kind of which direction to go in terms of which cases to take, it just seems kind of like a misuse of resources to defend the same-sex marriage ban.
Interesting. Pepin, so he's saying don't waste money defending this same-sex marriage ban when we've got more important issues, heroin and other things, on our plate. Does defending those things in court detract from the other missions of the Attorney General, Brad?
Well, I think part of the point that isn't being made clear to voters out there, and I understand why Pepin is not getting this, because I think they're being misled a little bit, because they're being given the impression that if the Attorney General doesn't defend a law, it'll just go away. And that's not true. When the U.S. Supreme Court calls the case, they're going to expect that there's an attorney representing the state of Wisconsin. And if that's not the elected Attorney General or their representatives from the office, it's going to be another attorney that the state will hire, because there will be an attorney defending that law. That's, yes, it does detract resources away, but it's part of the job. And certainly Pepin is right about the challenges we face with heroin and human trafficking. And I'm the only candidate in this race that has some comprehensive plans, and you can find them on my website, bradschimmel.com. I have comprehensive plans to deal with both of those serious issues. And I also have a track record that demonstrates I've already done a lot of work as a frontline prosecutor on these issues.
Pepin, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Brad, let's follow up that point on heroin in particular. Where do you start as Attorney General in tackling the state's heroin problem?
Well, this will take a multifaceted approach. We are certainly going to have to use the enforcement side of it. We're going to have to make sure we lock up the drug dealers, especially those who are delivering drugs that are causing deaths. But we will, unlike many other problems, we will not arrest our way out of this alone. We're going to have to do other things like treatment courts. And I'm very proud that I served on the Wisconsin Good Samaritan Task Force that developed the recommendations that became much of Representative John Nygren's HOPE legislation. And some of those things included funding for treatment and diversion courts, which last year the legislature invested $5 million in treatment and diversion court startup grants, and I think that's a good start. And as Attorney General, I will continue to beat that drum to make sure we fund that. And then ultimately, another piece of the HOPE legislation, or some pieces of it, involve prevention efforts. And we are not going to win this one if we don't get out in front of prevention. I've already presented to hundreds of medical providers, both in Waukesha County and other parts of the state, to address with them the concerns that we need to treat prescription narcotics differently than we have been treating them with our patients. And we've got to work with parents to make sure they know you need to lock up these drugs. You know, if you left your child at home, your 17-year-old at home for the weekend, You might check the liquor cabinet and mark the bottles or lock the cabinet, but very few people think about counting those OxyContin pills, for instance, in their medicine cabinet. Those OxyContin pills are that's the starting place for a heroin addiction in almost all cases. And we just aren't doing enough to be careful about those. We've got to educate the public better.
Other issues you've laid out, you have a plan to prevent and prosecute child abuse. Talk about what's in your plan.
Well, for child abuse, one of the things we need to create is, similar to what we have with sexual abuse of a child, a law that provides for being able to charge multiple acts as one count. Because often a young child isn't going to be able to say, I had this discrete thing happen to me on July 4th, and another thing happened to me a year later on September 4th. They can't do that. It makes it difficult for prosecutors sometimes to put the case together. If you've got the ability to charge repeated acts like we do with sexual assault, you can issue that one count that kind of covers everything, and it lets the child be able to just simply tell about what's happened to them and let the jury decide whether there are at least three acts that occurred so they can enter a conviction.
An issue we've heard about a fair amount in the last year. Over the last couple of decades, we've seen a big growth, a boom in Wisconsin's prison population. In your view, is this a problem? And if so, what role, if any, should the Department of Justice have in reducing the amount of people locked up, whether in jail or prison?
It is a problem, and it's embarrassing that Wisconsin ranks so poorly when we talk about per capita incarceration rates. It's a big problem. I believe that the treatment and diversion courts give us some real hope on this. Alcohol and drug treatment courts, the people that complete those effectively are people that are ultimately not going to prison, but they were certainly on the path to that. So I think those are things that can help reduce that. Some of this is going to have to be resolved by dealing with some social problems head on, and those are tough ones for, teen pregnancy rates. That's tough for law enforcement or criminal justice professionals to deal with. These are social issues. Also, the dropout rates at some of our inner-city schools in Milwaukee, it's a big piece of this problem. We've got to address this as a community. Those are tough things to go after for law enforcement, though.
There have been some calls for the next attorney general to put open government at the top of the priority list. If elected, would you make a commitment to open government? How would you be transparent with the people of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Open government is critical to the functioning of our democracy. We have to be able to see what our government is doing. We have to be able to check up on it to keep them honest, but also to have a public that's better informed when they go to vote for elected officials. And one of the things that I want to do as Attorney General is convene a conference of members of the Newspapers Association, the Broadcast Media Association, law enforcement, municipal attorneys, folks that are working directly with the public records law on both sides, and citizens, of course, as well, and take a look at our public records law and look at it with the intention of expanding access, but at the same time addressing some specific things that haven't been addressed by our law. Our public records law was written long before the internet existed, long before we had law enforcement agencies recording things on dash cams, long before we had the kind of 911 services we have. And these are leading law enforcement agencies to be not sure how to respond. And we end up having to deal with it by having cases get taken to court. And then once we get a court decision, we have a very narrow decision that doesn't necessarily address all of the possibilities. I think it's time for us to take a look at our public records law and not tear it all down, but bring it into conformity with today's technology, because it's really out of conformity right now.
Briefly, you've also made a priority of targeting violence against women. What role would you play as Attorney General?
Well, there are a lot of important issues here, and the Attorney General has millions of dollars in federal violence against women grant funding that they use for training law enforcement, prosecutors, social workers, and others in the community or in the profession. We need to take a look at how this money's being used, and I think there's some better ways to get professionals trained up in this. One thing I'd like to do is create a sensitive crime certification within law enforcement. have officers who are specifically trained up in this certification. They've got a complete periodic recertification to maintain that status, and they can become the experts in their jurisdictions, because we should not be sending out just a standard patrol officer in many cases to deal with a report of a sexual abuse of adult or a child. We certainly need to take a look at doing things differently on our college campuses. It's very disappointing to hear from college students just how dangerous it is for women on our college campuses. I have daughters who are 13 and 11, and I want to do something to make our colleges safer before my kids go off to college. And some of the things we can do is I'd like to see us create what's called a Good Samaritan law. So a person who's either a victim or a witness to something that could be sexual abuse occurring or about to occur doesn't have to strike a balance between getting in trouble themselves
gotcha.
And notifying the authorities.
Brad, we'll have to leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Brad Schimmel, Waukesha County District Attorney, Republican candidate for Attorney General.